the home 6010. Hello and welcome into the Fantasy Focus CSS DFS podcast. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. It is me and Mike Clay and Al Zeidenfeld, like it always is every Thursday, breaking down the daily fantasy slate. Al, I've already talked to Mike for a couple of minutes. I don't need to talk to him anymore. How you doing, buddy? It's good to see your face.
I'm doing good. I'm a little stressed with this slate that we got to break down. I mean, they've taken basically every good fantasy player off the slate. Now we have to try and make lineups with whatever they left us. This feels like the scraps.
Yeah, it
after
does.
Dinner.
Disrespectful to Geno Smith, but okay.
Wow. You're not wrong about that. There are a few players that maybe we like this week, but it was a little bit tougher this week here in week 7. Yeah. Let's quickly look back at week 6 where Mike beat me by almost 25 points. Mike, you are up 4-2 on me. Season standings, you have 67 more points total in the aggregate.
Good start.
That's right.
I'll take it.
Shout out to our winner this week, Mike.
Yeah. MC McFaddy 19.
McFaddy
192.2. We got like 240 sometimes. So it was a down week.
It was a down week, but shout out to them. Join our free league over at DraftKings. If this is your first time listening to the show and you want to dip your toe into the daily fantasy, you can play for free over at DraftKings in our league.
Did you make me say that so I get canceled?
Yes, I did not want to be the one to say it. That's why I paused for a very long time until
his name is his
did
name.
Free to enter $1,000 in prizes. Follow at Mike Clay NFL. I am at Daniel Dopp. Al is at Al Zeidenfeld. We will tweet out the link to the league, but what we don't do is tweet out that it's free with $1,000 in prizes because
secret for the listeners.
Everybody would just join. So we keep that just for you guys. All right. But follow us on Twitter in order to jump into the league. And with that being said, Mike Clay, let's jump into week 7 where Geno Smith. We're going back to the well again, huh?
Yeah. The disrespect from Al. And from price makers here at DraftKings, 5,600. The guy is priced 13th out of 22 quarterbacks on this slate.
Wow.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay. He is of the 12 quarterbacks priced higher than him this week. He has outscored 9 of them so far this season. So again, I don't get it. Ryan Tannehill, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Trevor Lawrence. He's behind all these guys.
I think it might have been take your non-football family member to work day when DraftKings did pricing. And so I just sort of did a couple things.
I don't know what's going on here. He's obviously been really good. 2+ touchdowns in 4 of his 6 games. He's hit the 300-yard bonus twice this season. He's first in completion percentage. He's 3rd in yards per pass attempt. So he has been productive this season. The Chargers, by the way, have allowed 11 passing touchdowns this season. That is 5th most in the NFL. So 2 touchdowns and 250, 270 through the air, certainly attainable at 5,600. I think he's a good quarterback to kind of build your lineup around.
Attainable and the upside for more because of what this Chargers offense could do on the other side of the ball means that you've got that 300 plus upside from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. Really love Geno Smith at 5,600 in cash this week. Al, let's talk about Dak Prescott as we do. Mm-hmm. Whenever I throw to you for a player, usually the first one you're talking about is taking on the Detroit Lions that week. And here we are again, Dak Prescott taking on the Detroit Lions. First game back. What do you like about Dak? Other than everything that this matchup.
I swear it's not personal.
Well,
it really
I wish I could say, let's roll back the tape and just see the last 4 weeks just to see how it plays out.
I mean, look, like I said, I like to attack the 3-legged wildebeest. You got to be that lion out on the desert and try and take out the weakest one in the herd. And I'm sorry, but the Detroit Lions are the worst third down defense in the league. They've allowed the 5th highest yards per deep pass attempt. Detroit is bottom 10 in yards against the pass touchdown rate, yards per completion allowed. They're just where we kind of want to go. And it's like, if Dak is back, I expect this Dallas Cowboys offense to operate in a more efficient manner moving forward. And CeeDee Lamb has established himself as a fantasy stud, getting like double-digit targets every week. And with all the other weapons on this team healthy, it's very easy to go with Dak Prescott double stack.
Very easy to be able to do a Dak Prescott double stack. I don't want to say I have concerns, but there is this thing in the back of my head that's like Dak Prescott is coming back from a throwing hand injury. This game is set up where he's supposed to smash. What if he's just like a little bit rusty? What if Dak just doesn't look like the Dak that we expect him to? Because it's his first time playing football in 6 weeks.
Yeah, he didn't look great in week 1, but it was against Tampa Bay. That offense has been different this year. It's been leaning towards the run since he's been out. It has not been as fast and high volume. It hasn't been as high scoring. Now, of course, that was because there was no Dak to some extent, but they've been winning for the most part, aside of the Eagles game, of course, so in Tampa week 1. But do they get back to that, or do they continue with the run first scheme, especially in Dak's first game? So there are some viable concerns. That's kind of why I stayed away. Honestly, I kind of want to start Josh Allen at $0 and then build a strong lineup around him, because I still think he gets 10, 15 points.
He's got a safe floor. Yeah,
I know he's not playing this week, but I still think he's good for 10 or 15. So that's tempting, because you could do a lot of damage with zero at your quarterback.
Yeah, you really could if you punt at the quarterback position. Al, all this to say, even though I do wonder about Dak, the idea of, from a tournament perspective, like, this is a smash spot where if Dak comes in with all the weapons that he has, like, he could absolutely crush here. And at sub 7K, you love that in a tournament lineup. Couple of other quarterbacks that we like this week: Lamar Jackson, $8,000, taking on the Cleveland Browns.
I'd pay up for him at that price too.
And
do you want to go that way?
Justin Herbert. What about the other side of Geno Smith? $7,200, quite a bit more than Geno Smith, but taking on the Seattle Seahawks, and you know that secondary can be taken advantage of. Hopefully Justin Herbert is getting back Keenan Allen this week. So that's something to be able to watch too, as that could potentially help him as well.
Oh yeah.
All right, let's talk about these running backs, Mike, where it feels like you're just going with the obvious chalk play. Let me take the running back that has two 30 plus point weeks over the last 2 weeks. Let's just run with him.
That's weird. Like, in fantasy, you're supposed to try to score a lot of points.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing here. I'm playing guys to score a lot of points. See that, how that works?
If he has 30 plus points in each of the last 2 weeks, why is he only $6,500?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know that answer, and that's why he's in my lineups, ladies and gentlemen. During those two games, 59 touches. 59 wow. touches, 368 yards, and three touchdowns. All concerns about him from the offseason are alleviated. This was a case we made. We said, look, there's Josh McDaniels is there. He might want to prefer a committee like he did in New England. But you look at the guys he's contending against and you're like, Jacobs is by far the best talent here. Maybe he emerges. And that is exactly what has happened. 18 plus touches in four straight games, 73 plus yards in every game this season. And on top of all that, great matchup, right? Houston, most fantasy points and scrimmage yards on a per game basis to running backs this season. That's 176 yards per game they're allowing to that position. And again, Jacobs handles a bulk of the snaps in this backfield. They allow 27 plus points to Austin Eckler, Khalil Herbert, and Jonathan Taylor. So when they've played these QB or RB1s, they've allowed a ton of fantasy production. I expect Jacobs to be next in line. So yeah, I think he puts together his third straight huge game.
I hope so. Josh Jacobs has smashed each of the last two, and this is another great option here for him. I'm really excited to be able to watch this one. Al, we listened to Mike talk about the volume that Josh Jacobs has gotten over the last 2 weeks. You want to talk about a running back that is just nothing but volume here through the first 6 weeks of the season, and that's Joe Mixon at $7,000.
Now look, don't fact check me on any of these stats, but I believe that they are close. Joe Mixon has not been very efficient in terms of his rushing when Joe Burrow is lined up under center. Last week, they were like in shotgun, like 95% of the time. In the last couple of weeks, Joe Mixon has averaged like over 6 yards per carry in plays that originate from the shotgun. So if they take this as their identity moving forward, Joe Mixon should be more efficient moving forward. He also is a massive regression candidate in terms of touchdowns because he just hasn't scored on runs that have originated inside the 5 yard line. So he's getting enough volume. He's also on pace to break his single season reception record before even December. Like, he is so involved in the passing game this year versus previous years. And the matchup is absolutely fantastic. Atlanta, the seventh worst tackling defense, thirds of yards per carry after first contact. This is a smash spot for him at home, favored, very involved in the passing game, gets all the inside the 5 yard lines, regression candidate. Mike can speak to his OTD or anything like that. But like, I think that Joe Mixon is a major arrow up candidate the rest of the season. He's only 7K this week. I think pairing him with Josh Jacobs is going to be extremely solid.
I like it. He's on my value list as well. They kind of phased out Captain America, Chris Evans, a little bit. He doesn't really play at all anymore. So you have a little Samaje Perine, but Mixon has picked up a few extra targets. It's been big.
All right, couple other running backs that we like. Damian Pierce at $6,400, taking on the Raiders. Opposite side of Josh Jacobs there. Saquon Barkley, $7,900.
He's still too cheap. Can you believe he's $7,900?
I cannot. Brees Hall, $6,200. That feels too cheap, although he does get a tough Denver defense. I think this will be really interesting to watch this week. Joe Mixon, we already mentioned. Derrick Henry, $8,200, taking on the Indianapolis Colts. And Jonathan Taylor, $8,100.
Do you sense a trend here? We're paying up for RB1s.
Yes,
Those are the ones that pop out as value. Like, these players listed that I talk about and that are in the other names list, these are the great values in our DFS chart that's on ESPN Plus. And that's basically our projected points against the prices. Who are the guys that are the best values? And the model, essentially, that model, which is not very complicated, just says pay up for running backs. They are the value plays right now.
Heck yeah. All right. We're going to talk about wide receivers in a second. But first, Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance?
I would.
Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with your homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add the easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways that you could save. It's simple. Go to geico.com or contact your local agent today. All right, at wide receiver, because it wasn't enough for Al to talk about Dak Prescott, Mike wants to talk about CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, the other end of that battery, right? Yeah. So thanks, going to CeeDee Lamb, 6,800, it's just too cheap. 9.8 targets per game this season. He has 8+ in all 6 outings. Now, again, I know a lot of that was without Dak Prescott, but you would expect them to score more and be a faster paced offense and pass the ball more. Like
8+ targets, you said?
Yeah.
In every single outing? Wow. Right. That's awesome. Right.
And, you know, last year we saw Dak kind of spread the ball around a lot. He threw it to Dalton Schultz and he threw it to the slot like Cedric Wilson to be soaking up a lot of targets. So that's a mild concern. But again, if they're scoring more and running more plays, that should be offset. So not too worried. He's 12th in fantasy scoring at receiver this year. Again, in this run heavy offense that has 5 passing touchdowns this year. That's it. 5 passing touchdowns and he's still 12th in fantasy points. So it's a pretty nice feat. And of course, plug your ears. The Lions' 4th most fantasy points over expected to receivers. They've allowed 17 or more fantasy points to 7 receivers in only 5 games this season. And it's a good matchup. AJ Parker is handling the slot right now for Detroit. They waived him. He was on the practice squad, but it wasn't working out what they were doing earlier. They promoted him back and he was the full-time slot last week. We'll see if he is again this week, but obviously they haven't figured that spot out.
Is that bad when you waive a guy from your team and then rehire him back to be the starting slot guy? That's not a good
setup. That's not great, Bob. Yeah.
Okay. Here's one thing. I do want to say this. You were all in on CeeDee Lamb to start the year. I know this is DFS, but in spite of the fact that CeeDee Lamb has not had Dak Prescott, and like you said, there are 5 passing touchdowns on the season, CeeDee Lamb is still wide receiver 12 with Cooper Rush under center and that anemic Cowboys offense. That's a huge testament to how good CeeDee Lamb is and what he can do
here. And why volume is king.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Al, let's talk about Alec Pierce. $4,600. We watched Michael Pittman, his teammate, go off last week. But Alec Pierce also had a really nice day, quietly behind Michael Pittman, and he's sub 5,000. Why do you like Alec Pierce here this week?
I mean, we got to find somewhere that we're going to save some money, right? Even if we plug in like a $2,500 defense, we still have less than 6,000 average salary to fill out the rest of the spots. And as Mike detailed at running back, and as we're going to get to here at wide receiver, a lot of the quote value plays, the players that are popping against their projection at salary are over 6K, some of them over 7K. So we have to find somebody that's a little bit cheap. And Pierce has been extremely solid, no less than 12 fantasy points on DraftKings each of the last 3 weeks. He's got 22 targets over that span. He's a big target, has logged some end zone usage on this Colts offense. And they're playing, they project to play from behind as underdogs on the road in this spot. So I need to find some value. There's no extreme value yet at wide receiver as we've seen many of the weeks so far this year. We'll wait and see if some opens up on Friday or Saturday with that Shefty news dump on Saturday night, finding out if some players aren't playing and we get some extreme value at wide receiver. But right now, sub 5K, Alex Pierce is the number one play on the board to me.
What's it like to be in a time zone where you can actually take advantage of the Shefty news dump at like 12:30 in the morning?
Oh, yeah, it's like 8:45.
Yeah,
perfect. Right? 8:45 p.m. I know what's going to happen on Sunday morning right before I go to sleep.
I'm sorry.
It's only legitimate time zone over here.
It really is.
I don't know about that, but I'm usually like falling asleep and then my watch buzzes. I'm like, Schefter time.
Hold on, there's something going on. What's happening? All right, it's all about to come in. All right, let's talk about a couple of other wide receivers that we like here this week. T. Higgins, $6,400, taken on the Atlanta Falcons. Amon-Ra St. Brown in his first week back after the bye, coming back from that ankle injury, $7,100 against Dallas. Jamar Chase, $8,200 against Atlanta after lighting it up last week. DK Metcalf, $6,600 in that shootout, hopefully against the Chargers. Debo, $7,600 taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Tyler Lockett, $5,800 as well in that Chargers game. And then Amari Cooper, not a home game here, Mike, but $6,100 taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Amari Cooper has been pretty good as of late as well. All right, let's talk about some tight ends here, Mike. And we saw it this week. No Albert Okwuegbunam for the Denver Broncos. And in comes the rookie tight end, Greg Dulcich.
Yeah, and no Albert O because he's benched, right? He was a healthy scratch. Hurt. It's not like he's hurt. It's not like he's hurt and coming back. He's out of their plans right now. Dulcich was terrific. I mean, he is the bare minimum tight end price. So I thought about this. You know, I thought do I want to spend up on a Mark Andrews? But you can get a lot into your lineup if you essentially punt tight end. And this is the way to do it, right? We're going all the way to the basement here at 2,500 for a guy that is a huge part of his passing game. We're getting the Monday Night Football discount, right? That's why his price is so low. He had the big game on Monday night. He was a top 12 scoring tight end in his NFL debut. He ran 26 pass routes, and that's the key, because Cortland Sutton ran 31. Jerry Jeudy ran 30. Dulcich was next. KJ Hamler was at 20. Dulcich is essentially their third pass catcher immediately. The Jets top 10 in receptions and yards to tight ends. Last week, you may recall, they allowed 10 catches and 90 yards to Rob Tonyan. He was targeted, I believe it was 13 times in that game. That was five more than he's ever seen in a game in his NFL career. I guess it was 12. He had previously had seven as his high total. So Dulcich in a good spot. He only had a handful of targets, but he had the long touchdown. He almost had a second touchdown. And again, at this price point, I think you just have to take advantage, right? Because you only need, 7 points, seven, eight points. I mean, it's all you need for this to pay off. And again, you can add so much else to your lineup by doing this.
This is one of those spots where I feel a little bit of trepidation only because it's a rookie coming off of what basically is his first game, right? But when you're talking about the tight end position at the lowest possible price point that you can get, that's the great place to be able to pay down, and you're potentially having more upside, and it's the cheapest amount you can do. I love that
call. Yeah, if he takes a zero, I mean, the rest of your lineup is going to be much better
because you're able to save money.
He's 2,500. He barely puts a dent in your plan.
Yep, agreed. All right, love Greg Dulcich this week against the Jets. Al, you want to talk about Evan Engram? I heard you take a shot at his headshot during your stream this week. Only $3,300 for Evan Engram. What do you like about him in this spot?
I like that he's $3,300 and running a ton of routes. Like, he's become easy value for us, really. Like, you were mentioning how certain players should be priced more. I believe that Evan Engram should be about a $4,000 to $4,200 tight end. There's no reason for him to be $3,300. Now, look, Dulcich is going to get a lot of play and should. Cade Otton, in the case that the injury sustains with the neck with Cameron Brate in front of him, is also going to be heavily played. So, like, Evan Engram's going to fall in this zone where he's going to come in with a low number in tournaments this week, running a ton of routes, getting a lot of targets, has big play upside. I love the way that they're deploying him this year versus his last couple of years with the Giants. So now we have a spot where you have upside with a quarterback who has shown that he can be efficient, even though it's kind of a dink and dunk offense. But with full PPR and bonuses, I don't care if it's dink and dunk. Give him as many catches as possible. Evan Engram is a solid play, if an unspectacular one.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with solid and unspectacular. I've built most of my career around solid and unspectacular, I feel like. So we're okay with that. All right, a couple of other tight ends that we like this week. Mark Andrews, although we mentioned, Field mentioned on the earlier show, did not practice today. So just something to be able to watch.
Yeah. And by the way, you want to pay up for him, go for it. You know, I was tempted to do it. He's obviously great. And if he's out, we're going to add another value tight end, Isaiah Likely, to the radar. Keep an eye on that.
Oh, gosh. That would be a smash spot. Cade Otton, $2,700. Mike taking on Carolina. And David Njoku and all the volume he's getting taking on the Baltimore Ravens this week.
Every week.
Love to be able to see that. All right. It is time. Beard versus the brain. Let's talk about it. Here we go. Your week seven head-to-head lineup against me, Mike Clay. Bring it.
All right. We're going to start a quarterback with Geno Smith. Like I said, just two undervalued this week. So we're going with Geno at 5,600. Running backs, we are loaded. Saquon Barkley.
Oh, my gosh.
Damian Pierce. Oh, and even the flex, we're going with Joshua Jacobs. So feeling really good about that. Wide receiver, right? We're still going to be able to pay up for good players here. We have CeeDee Lamb. We have Amari Cooper. And we have Tyler Lockett. Greg Dulcich is the tight end. And we're punting the D with Atlanta. So again, going with that punt at tight end instead of paying $5,000 more for Mark Andrews allows us to have stars at all three running back spots, all RB1s. They're all RB1s in season long. And we still have three really good wide receivers. I believe they're all top 15 in fantasy points. So we're pretty stacked in the core of this lineup. And as long as Geno has a respectable day, which we expect, and Dulcich has a couple catches, we're sitting pretty.
And you're not in a bad spot there.
I like the floor here.
It's not a bad floor. I went a different direction.
Okay.
I went Justin Herbert as my quarterback on the other side of Geno Smith. So I went with him. My running backs are Saquon and Josh Jacobs.
Oh, come on.
I had Damian Pierce and Josh Jacobs, so I switched it, and it's like, what do you want me to do? You take all of the three of the good running backs.
You're not allowed to use them. We should just draft every week where you can't, like Al does on the show.
We should do, yeah, like the cage match. Easy. All right, so we got Saquon and Josh Jacobs for me. My wide receivers are Amari Cooper, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Tyler Lockett, and Alec Pierce with my tight end being Greg Dulcich and my defense being the Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We have very similar lineups.
We do. So this is one of those situations where, like, after it's been set and I look at it, it's like, boy, we've got like four of the same players. Do we go in and tweak this? Are we allowed to tweak it, or do I have to leave it?
Of course, we always do. Yeah, you have to. I mean, there's going to be injury news. There's going to be things that change. Last week I plugged, you know, Benjamin in. Actually, my show lineup, if you recall, had Tyquan Thornton and had Breece Hall, who are outstanding, and I pulled them two out and put in Alec Pierce and Eno Benjamin, who are not as good. Neither of them, Pierce scored, it was fine, but still put together a good week last week. But, you know, we can always tweak. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes, but of course, there's always going to be injury news. You always have to be adjusting, especially after inactives come out on Sunday.
I think it's really interesting, though, that for our two cash lineups, you went cheap at quarterback at $5,600. I spent $7,200 in the same game, and yet we still have four players that are the same across the board. Just looking at the values that we like this week.
I think it's that third receiver spot, right? I have CeeDee Lamb. You have Amon-Ra in there. Right? So it's basically Cooper versus Alec Pierce, I guess, is the difference there.
Yeah. And I guess Amari Cooper's pretty good, but whatever. Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, Al, let's talk about your tourney lineup here in week 7. Which way are you going to do the double stack with a comeback and then a secondary stack?
So I've changed this like 3 times during the show. What I've landed on at this point is I'm going to stick with that Dak Prescott stack against the Detroit Lions because, you know, the things. Sorry, Daniel. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup going along with Dak Prescott. I'm going to bring that back with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I've got the Sun God in this lineup. Running backs, Josh Jacobs and Derrick Henry. And then Alec Pierce is my value play in the flex with the Commanders defense. Greg Dulcich giving me a lot of salary relief at $2,500. At tight end, this lineup feels too good.
So wait a second. You have CeeDee Lamb and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Derrick Henry.
And Josh Jacobs.
Wow. Yeah. With Dak Prescott taking on the Lions.
Too chalky. You can't win. You have too many good players. You can't win that way. You need some randoms in there.
Hopefully I get a W this week. I need to take down Mike. Earlier this week, Mike and I went axe throwing and my team beat him overall in the aggregate. So I am up in axe throwing 1-0. However, barely.
We did good. We hung in there.
It was
a lot of fun.
But, Al, we would appreciate it if you could make it out to the next team building exercise. We gave you plenty of advice and time to get here.
I would love to go bowling or axe throwing or anything, but like somehow my phone never buzzes with these invitations.
Yikes. Oh, that's so weird. It's almost like you live on the West Coast. Do you have a private helicopter you could take to the East Coast?
Look, I may or may not have a plane. I can either confirm or
deny. All right. Well, Geico can help you cover that, Al, if you need some insurance. I'm not sure that's true. Don't take that. I'm not sure if Geico covers planes. All right. We love you guys so much. Thank you for hanging out with us. We love being able to do this DFS show. Follow at Al Zeidenfeld, at Mike Clay NFL. I am at Daniel Dopp. We will tweet out a link to the league. Have so much fun here. Good luck in Thursday Night Football. We'll see you next week.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case. Projections that can put us in front.